Named after the mechanism that separates the sweet wort from the spent grains, False Bottom Girls features two beer experts filtering through the brewing industry to guide listeners through the wonderful, yet sometimes confusing, world of beer. Hi, my name is Rachel Hudson. I'm the co-owner and head brewer of Pilot Brewing in Charlotte, North Carolina, and an advanced Cicerone.
Hi, I'm Jen Blair. I'm the beer program coordinator with New Realm Brewing in Atlanta, Georgia, and I am also an advanced Cicerone. Welcome, everyone, to this episode of False Bottom Girls. I am Jen.
I am Rachel.
And today we're talking to you about something that is very much beer adjacent. It does relate to beer, but we're not talking about like a technical topic or anything today. Something that Rachel and I have both done that I know a lot of our listeners do, and a lot of listeners I know would like to do, is events and planning events. So
we're such today, build up.
Yeah, right?
That I have done, that Rachel has done, that some of you do, that some of you would like to do.
And it gets wetter as it dries.
Event planning.
Yes, but you know, it's funny because it's one of those things that it's like we both have done it. Rachel currently does it. I do it on a much smaller scale, but you know, it's just one of those things that we both do. And it one day was like, wait a second, why don't we talk about this? Because these are like, we've had to learn a lot of stuff. And you know, organizing some kind of an event, especially bigger events like we're going to talk about today, it's a lot of fucking work. And both of us kind of headed that with, you know, help from other people, but we just had to figure out a lot of stuff for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided that Rachel would talk with us about planning Charlotte Craft Beer Week. Mm-hmm. And then I would also talk about my experiences with the Craft Maltsters Guild planning the craft malt conferences. So Rachel, I do like the origin story of how Charlotte Craft Beer Week came to be. So why don't you just tell us?
Yeah, it's a good story.
It is not a surprising story. If you've been listening to us, this is very much probably something both of us would do.
Yeah, probably something I've even brought up on the podcast. But
probably.
So Beer Week as a whole is not a new concept. Plenty of cities have craft beer weeks. Some of them do very well. When I moved to Charlotte and opened up Pilot, there was a Charlotte Craft Beer Week. It was like ran by a couple guys who were beer enthusiasts. They basically
pretty loosey goosey.
Yeah, they basically were like, hey, host some events. We'll help you advertise them via our website. And that was it. And that's okay. You know, they were just doing stuff on their own time. And but COVID happened and that all stopped. And, you know, once things kind of started getting back in the flow of COVID, we had a different organization here in Charlotte that decided to host they were called SEBA. They decided to host a SEBA Brewed Week, which they advertised to the consumer very much like a Charlotte Craft Beer Week mm-hmm. type of event that only included their member breweries, which as a non-member, could be a member if I wanted to be, choose not to be non-member. That made me very angry because you can't just sit there and make the consumer confused, mm-hmm. telling everybody that you're the end-all be-all for Charlotte beer. You're not. And then when we all said something, the breweries that were not involved, your response was, as the week was starting, oh, well, you can plan events too. It's like you didn't tell us about right. any of this. You clearly didn't want us to be involved. Right. So, and I was like, well, that's not cool. I voiced my opinion publicly. The guy who...
You?
Yeah.
What?
Shocking, I know. Via Facebook and some other outlets. But I was basically like, this is bullshit. These are not, like, please don't confuse... Like, have your club, have your events... But right. you do not let people think that this is Charlotte CLT Brewed Week, I think is what they call
right.
it.
Right. Yeah. It's not inclusive of all of the breweries in Charlotte because they wouldn't allow all of the breweries in Charlotte to be members.
Especially
at the time. I don't know if it's changed.
That's a different podcast episode.
Okay.
But they The guy, so as I'm, you know, posting about this, getting angry, the guy who with his group of friends started this beer week originally before COVID reached out, was like, hey, I actually caught wind of what they were doing and asked if I could be a part of it and, you know, have this be Charlotte Craft Beer Week. And they were like, no. And thank God, actually, in hindsight. But so I was like, well, F them. You're with me now. We're doing, you know, Beer Week. We're bringing back the original Charlotte Craft Beer Week. And that's what he had called it, Charlotte Craft Beer Week. Like, very specific verbiage. He had website.com, blah, blah, blah. So cool. So I get together with a couple other breweries and I'm like, hey, we need to do this. Let's do it in October. One, because we had time, more time than like to plan. Like, we weren't ready to do anything right off the bat.
Right.
And two, it was NC. It is North Carolina Beer Month. Perfect. So we got together, you know, coming from a beer week city, Richmond, Virginia, that did have a beer week. It was very much distributor and breweries and restaurants were all involved. They all worked together to plan events that were available all throughout the city during specific week. We're like, let's plan a couple events as the breweries. Let's give ideas to the breweries for events they can plan because they want, were wanting that. And it happens during this 10-day period. This is Charlotte Craft Beer Week. We plan these events, we advertise them, we help other people advertise their events. And it started out kind of like that. Like, you can be a restaurant, a bar, a bottle shop, a brewery, a tap room with a brewery in Asheville, a SIBA member, a non-SIBA member, like
right.
a beer club, literally anything that had, we had a cigar bar included on, you know, year one. They served craft beer. They did a cigar and beer pairing.
I love those.
Like, it could be anything. That was the whole idea. It was just celebrate the craft beer scene and cider, you know, try to include all things fermented, but for a marketing standpoint.
Right.
So yeah, and it just kind of evolved from that. I did the best I could to just kind of get a couple people involved. We're like, you're having this event, you're having this event. And it turned into this self-proclaimed project manager of Charlotte Craft Beer Week. And nobody stopped me. So I just kept going. And there are, you know, there's a local, Charlotte has a visitors authority, if you will. They're called the Charlotte Regionals Visitors Authority. They're like in charge of like tourism for Charlotte. So they own like the Bojangles Stadium where the local hockey team plays. They own the NASCAR Hall of Fame. They like set up conventions when they come to town. They had a brewery membership option. Some of us were members. So I was like, hey guys, we need you to help us with this. And slowly over the past 3 years, their involvement has grown significantly. But they were just like, this is right up our alley. And as time has gone on, has gone by. So we've done things like it's really involved. I'm talking about it in a very general sense, but to get into the nitty gritty, like as a Beer Week committee, which is not many people, we basically have like 10, we call them flagship events that we host. One's Bad Review Night, which is my freaking favorite.
That is such, I haven't been to it, but I've seen the pictures and stuff from it. And I need to come to Charlotte for it.
It is hilarious. We've done this event all 3 years. One of the girls, who helped me organize it, her name's Melissa, works for my distribution company as Pilot, but they're also our biggest Beer Week sponsor. So it was her idea because I think they did it in Beer Week in Philadelphia or wherever Sheila grew up. I think it was Philly. And it's just a great idea. We get some brewers on stage. We put together bad reviews of their beers that they read for the first time and get their reactions. And it's just comedic gold. Sometimes you just get the best moments. It's 3 years strong. Definitely doing it again next year. Our friend Razia is now planning it for next year.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. So I'm very excited. I got some more help for next year as we grow it, which I'm very excited about.
Right.
And we have other events too. We did some brewery crawls. We did a pizza and beer pairing. We had shoot, there's like so much you can't remember. We try to do a mental health happy hour the past couple of years.
We did a Cicerone meet and greet.
We did a Cicerone meet and greet. A Pink Boots merchandise swap. So we have people, you come donate your merchandise that you don't want anymore and or swap things out or like buy things yard sale style. So just like unique events. And then we really encourage all the breweries around us, anywhere who sells craft beer, who wants to be a part of it, restaurants, all that jazz, to make their own events. They submit them to our Beer Week website that get posted on the website. And that's been one thing that has grown significantly is the website. The first couple of years, it was something I put together myself via Wix, which is, if you're looking to put together a website by yourself, it's a great, great tool. It's you know, for amateurs. I don't know anything about.
Yeah, that's doing that stuff. I have Squarespace, and it's the same way. It's like,
yeah, exactly. And I will admit, like, I did, actually, I think I put together something myself first, but then eventually we did hire someone like a Wix expert that you could hire to put together the base outline. So we were like, we need like 7 pages, make a home page, make an events page, blah, blah, blah. And then we just built it out from that. And even that was pretty low cost. So it was worth getting the professional start on that and get it going, but you don't have to. They have like templates that make it really easy. They can be like, what kind of website do you want to build? And you're like, event. And they're like, perfect. How about this? And you're like, perfect.
Yeah.
And you're like, and so there's easy ways to do it, but it's a lot. Oh my God. It's a lot of work. It's so like, it's something I took on myself out of being.
Out of spite.
Out of spite. That I cannot stop. That it's just like, I have to keep going. So I did. And this year, at the beginning of this year, at 2024, I like went to the CRVA and was like, I, over the next couple of years, need you guys to start like taking this over. And because I just, it becomes this thing. And like, basically their job is to market events and help do all that, but their job, but not to plan them. So it does come down to some people to get the breweries to like do some of these, you know, some of the work. And it's gotten better. Like, as I have done this, you find the events that work and you keep doing them the same year, every year, and just continue to grow them and then find different people to be your point person for each event. So for each brewery crawl, the brewery crawls are so involved. You have like the CRVA makes a craft beer passport, which is not an app, but it, like something you can use on your phone. So you can like check into each brewery and each event and earn points and win prizes, which is a whole awesome thing that they do on their own.
Yeah, that's super cool.
But, you know, within that, like with that brewery crawl, there is a winner and the winner gets a gift card from each brewery. So someone, and there was like a component where we are hiring these ride shares, not like Uber, Lyft, but they're called like, they're like big golf carts essentially that like can take you to each brewery. So was like a cost involved. But each brewery, the breweries were sharing the cost and they were giving the gift card. So like someone is now the point person for that crawl. They work with the person to get the payments. They work with the breweries to get the, you know, gift cards and all that, you know, do all the legwork when it comes to that crawl. And that's what you kind of need when you start doing a huge beer week like this, because you cannot do it all. And that was my biggest mistake in year one and year two. It's just, and even this year, it's just taking on too much. Just being like, all right, I can do that, because little tasks seem like not that big of a deal, but when you have so many,
it's they really tough.
So it's good to just keep yourself as that project manager and delegate as much as possible, because you're still going to have 1,000 things to do and things happen. People can't make it, you know, people drop out. This is very voluntary work.
Right. And you know, that's definitely something that I've learned too, is I'm okay with delegating in some ways, but it's hard for me to delegate, but then still let go of control. Yeah. And that's something that I've had to be like, look, just because it's not the way that you would do it doesn't mean that it's wrong. And also, you delegated this because you didn't want to do it. So like, you can accept however, you know, whatever it turns out, you know, as long as it's a good product, but yeah, the delegation. And then, I mean, for me, just not being like, how are you doing? Like, not being a micromanager, you know, is really tough, especially like, you know, with events, it's not just you, but you're the person people are going to complain to if something goes wrong. You know, you hear all of the feedback, good and bad.
And I think my whole outlook on it is like, I welcome anyone to come help me. And everyone's just doing the best they can at the end of the day. And things aren't going to always be perfect. And half the time people don't know that they're not perfect. And this is something I've definitely learned over the years from owning Pilot is you just got to, if you try to do everything yourself, you're not going to be able to do it. So why not just let someone else do it and fuck it up that way?
Right.
If it's going to get fucked up, let someone else maybe not fuck it up, but maybe they do. So, you know, because it's better, you know, and no one knows the best answers. Things, it does suck. Like there are moments where you're just like, you said you're going to do this and you just keep checking in. You're like, hey, you know, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. And then they don't. And it's just like, what are you going to do? You know, it's just, I've had so many failures with Beer Week and so many things I want to do better. And what I need to do better is get more of a team to do more of the things.
Yeah. And like it's hard when you're a volunteer. And like, I know that was something that another event that I helped plan was Charlotte Oktoberfest. And that was like, okay, you know, you're going to get 100 people sign up to volunteer, 30 are going to show up. So you need to figure out like where are the most important places to put people, because if you don't have all the people you think you're going to have, or, you know, something like you're saying too, is like, yeah, I can do this. And then you can't, then you've got somebody who can cover, or you at least have a plan. So it's not taking you by surprise. And I learned that the first year I planned the Craft Malt Conference. So I was hired for the executive director position in July. And when the president of the board called me to officially offer me the job, he was also like, by the way, we're also planning a conference. It's in February. You're going to be in charge of it. And I was like, okay. And actually, nice. I had to leave a Charlotte Oktoberfest planning meeting to go out in the parking lot to take the phone call. So I'm also out in the parking lot, like, pumping my arms and stuff. And I know I look insane to anybody who sees me, but that, you know, that gave me like about 6-7 months. I had never planned a conference before. The guild had never done a conference before. So it was like learning everything new and kind of that drinking from a fire hose thing. So, you know, when we're trying to use as many local vendors as possible, and we didn't want to order, you know, from like a big national chain or anything, not that there's anything wrong with it, but, you know, particularly when your audience is craft maltsters and it's people who are trying, you know, to encourage other people to buy local and buy small, wanted to make sure that was reflected. And our event space did not, like I said, did not give us enough coffee. And it's really bad to run out of coffee first thing in the morning. And, you know, the thing that I learned, which luckily after the next year, I didn't have to worry about too much, was like understanding that whatever the event place or whatever the, you know, restaurant tells you is going to feed, like, oh yeah, if you order this, this will feed 50 people. No, it will not. They're assuming this will feed 50 people if every person takes one half of a sandwich and like one scoop of chips or whatever. And people do not do that. So we ran out of coffee. And actually, one of our sponsors who had a table there went and bought coffee and was like, if you come over to our table and talk to us, we'll give you coffee. And we eventually did get more just coffee for everyone. But it's like, you have all of these people who are like growers, maltsters, you know, there are like all of these kind of like farm people and stuff who are just like, where's my coffee? And then when lunch got delivered, it was the same thing. Like we almost immediately ran out of food because the place, you know, again, said like, yes, this will feed this many people. Okay, great. But again, like you're assuming that these aren't like farmers who eat farmer meals and everybody's just going to take a little half of one sandwich and that's going to be fine. And like we ended up calling the place back. We're like, you have to bring us more food. I think the president of the board went out to like a different sandwich place and was like, I need like all this food. So we're just scrambling to get the food. So that was a very important lesson I learned. And it the next year, you know, again, like you said, like there's some stuff that goes wrong that just gets really fucked up. And that was something that went wrong that like everybody was aware of. But
Yeah.
then the next year, you know, it was like, okay, now I know. And now when I'm talking to this venue, I can make sure that we have enough food and not just enough food, but we have more food than we need. And so, yeah, that for me, like the food thing was one of the hard lessons to learn. But yeah, like you said, it was also, I was learning how to like set up an event on our membership or like on our website and, you know, different ticket prices and what does that look like and how does all that work and marketing and trying to get speakers. And the first year I did, I would say probably 95% of the work. The president of the board was going to quote unquote help. And he did quote unquote help with some of it. But, you know, at the end, it was like, after it was over, I was like, okay, I cannot do this on my own. Mm-hmm. And for the next year, I requested and received funding to hire event planners because our conference moved around every year and it still does move around every year. So for the second year, it was in Bozeman and I can't just go out to Bozeman, you know, like at the time
yeah.
I lived in Charlotte. So it wasn't a huge deal for me to drive to Asheville. That's a couple hours. But I can't just fly in and out from Bozeman. And so I had to, I found
or could
a local,
you?
Yeah. not when you work for a nonprofit.
Yes.
but I found, you know, local events and, or local event planners who do beer. Just do beer events. They planned Bozeman Craft Beer Week, so they had a lot of experience. And those are my friends Jesse and Loy. We have become very good friends since then. But that's how we met, was them helping me with this conference, and so that that was perfect for me because I had somebody there. I had and they lived there, so I could, you know, like trust kind of what their opinions were or what they were recommending. Yeah. And we also, I'll talk about it a little bit later, but we had like one very, very big event that was a lot of work with local breweries. And so since they were local, they were the ones who could reach out and like make those connections and handle that for me. Because for me, when our conference moved around every year, I always described it as you're planning a destination wedding every year, but for a bigger crowd every year. And so it's, you know, it's just, it's so much stuff. And after the first time you do it, like you learn a ton of stuff. And like you said, there's a lot of stuff that goes on that nobody knows about. But you know, like nobody's going to get you their slides in time when they're supposed to. And after like the first year, I was just like, okay, this is just how it's going to happen. I always try to make sure to get my stuff in by the deadlines just because I've been on the other side of that. And, you know, I know when it's just like, okay, are you going to show up with like some weird ass PowerPoint that we've never seen before? Like one guy just ended up turning his presentation into a sales pitch, which he was specifically told not to do. But then it's like, what do you do when somebody gets up on the stage and starts doing a sales pitch? You can't get the big hook and pull them off the stage. But it was still, you know, at the end, like people still had a good time. And that was the whole point of, you know, bringing everybody together. Everybody learned a lot. People got to meet each other and like share resources and stuff. And so that, you know, that was good. And like the quality of the content we had besides the sales pitch was also good. And then, you know, the next year it was really easy to, or I shouldn't say it was really easy. It was much easier to start to plan things. It's like, okay, we've already fucked up this stuff. So we know not to fuck this up again. And like, we got this kind of feedback. And I'm interested, Rachel, to hear so like some of the failures that you would reference, but also, you know, specifically, like I kind of had this vision in my mind that like, this is how this is going to go. And this is how people are going to react. And you just kind of get tunnel vision. And then like when people, you get outside eyes on it, it's like, no, we don't like it that way, or, you know, or whatever. And you're like, no, but I've got this whole plan, you know, like,
yeah. Well, I think, well, that kind of leads me into like one of my next points anyways about marketing. Like marketing is definitely something that is fucking hate it. So necessary. I mean, your event was very specific. Like, you know, these people are coming. You know,
yes,
like
true.
You don't really have to get
they
the
don't
whole
have to
public.
Guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you don't have to get the consumer, the general consumer of Charlotte or whatever city, Bozeman, like excited. Right. So there's this whole aspect of that, that is so awful. So we spent a lot of I think last year I did way better job of marketing the events this year, even though we had more quote unquote marketing power behind it, because one, so CRVA does a lot of marketing. They have their own following. Their Charlotte's got a lot. If you're familiar with the Charlotte scene at all, like, that's like a marketing tool. They, if you've seen the Charlotte crown, that is them. That's their marketing symbol. Like, it, so that's awesome. All that stuff is really great. But they have email reach. They have all this stuff. We also have this other piece of social media. So we hire the company that does pilot social media. They also do Beer Week social media. So they get hired to run all the Instagram, Facebook, doing some boost behind ads, posting, anything that you see post on social media, event posting, all that, they do. Last year, I started them like we had like a 3 month span of them working. This month, year, we only had money for like a 1 month span, plus to give them kind of some ad money that boosting that they really, really wanted that they didn't get last year. So that was the decision we made. And I really do feel like that affected the turnout of events. I do think we could have had more. We had more event turnout last year than we did this year. We still had a really great like track record for the passport, people like using the passport and checking into events. And so I failed there for sure. And we also didn't really get the print material, which was under CRVA's scope, out as early as we wanted to. With no fault of their own, just again, things happen.
Yeah.
So there's a combination of both those that I really feel like could have brought more people into these events. And I hope the breweries stick with me on some of these events as we try to grow them. We really try to make these events like low work too on the brewery part. You know, some of them are more, you know, we're trying to create this big brewers kickoff party event. And like some of them are a little bit more high work, but for the most part, the idea is that you also don't have to plan an event for your brewery every single night. Like we're trying to celebrate things that are already happening within these breweries, like their beer releases or, you know, whatever pairings they might already be doing, or just taproom events in general. So marketing, and we also have iHeartRadio that's involved, and they've been, last year they gave a bunch of free promotion. This year we did a mix of some free promotion and paid campaign, again, that CRVA covered. So CRVA has been like freaking huge in running the tech, covering the expenses this year. Like that, I mean, all the print material, iHeartRadio, their marketing dollars, promotions, they're the people that they pay to work on this with me. That, and then like, so I do have like this marketing sponsorship from them, and then they also cover a lot of money. Like, godsend. Now they host the website. They took that off my plate. I mean, the amount of work that I was doing is definitely gone down a lot physically, but now I have to project manager more. I need more people.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, now you don't have to do the
physical
work.
So
now they're like, all right, now you've got more time to think of bigger and better ideas.
Yeah, well, basically, like, I need this person to do all this and me not do any of it, like kind of like next step. And like, there's just some things that can be tightened up. There's always going to be. And then that even leads me to like sponsorships. And like last year I got like $9,000 worth of sponsorships. If you guys haven't been listening, this is a lot of work. I mean, to like, it's, yeah, you can go out there and be like, hey, Charlotte Craft Beer Week, all the breweries buy from you, you should be a sponsor. That's not good enough. They want social media posts. They want website placement. They want a flyer placement. If you're going to have a backdrop, like a photo drop, who's going to be on that? Like, it was so much work that I didn't even do it this year. I didn't. I was like, CRVA, you're in. I'll take Tryon's money, because the Tryon distributor is my biggest sponsor. So and they don't care. They're like, give us some social media posts, give us some love. Thank you. They just want Beer Week to happen. So they cover basically the cost of the social media team. And then I got a little extra to, we do the homebrew competition that we've been growing. And
which I think is super cool. I like it. Obviously, I really like when breweries bring in the home brewing community because it, yeah, gives, you know, it gives them it. Yeah, exactly. It's part of the beer scene.
Well, especially Carolina Brewmasters. I mean, the local homebrew club here, they are very big and active and do lots of stuff. And they're always out at these breweries anyways. Like, it makes sense. And that is probably the second biggest expense of Beer Week, honestly. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, we get some medals for them. We have a local guy who makes these medals, which are really great and very efficient. If you ever need medals, I got a guy for you. Like, very cost efficient. But we pay for some food for the judging day. We pay, like, that's kind of it. Brewers at Yancey is really great. They donate the space. They donate some after judging food for the judges and beer. They, you know, and it's not anything crazy. Like, each year we've gotten like 40 entries, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's very cool.
I think it's awesome. It's funny. We advertised that it's North Carolina and South Carolina brewers. And last year it was, but this year the organizer, like, he said he just, like, made a mistake and was open to Florida as well. So we got, like, half the entries were from Florida homebrewers, which I did not care. One, and plus, what are you going to do? Like, oh, here's your entries back. Like, no, we're going to judge them. Like, it's great to have the content, to have the entries. And we have, like, 6 or 7 judges. The idea is we try to get as many professional brewer judges to come judge with the homebrewers as well, like, to kind of make that mix of Beer Week. I wasn't there because I was at GABF coming home that day, wrapping up the sponsorships. If I had the time this past year, I definitely would have. I should have, could have, all that jazz. My plan is to do it next year, but more money, the more marketing, it just marketing, 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 marketing. If you're going to do consumer facing events, and when you're in Jen's position, it's a little nicer. You don't have to worry about that. You know, when you're doing, like, an event for an already prepared group.
Yes,
of
much
people.
Smaller audience. Yeah. It is still tough to, to travel. And for us, one of the biggest challenges, and so if you've ever attended or looked at the Craft Malt Conference and you were wondering, like, why is it in February? That's because that's when that's the slow time for growers, for maltsters. That's when you can get people, and if you have it in the spring or summer or fall, like, that's not going to work. You can't have it in the fall.
A really good point. Like, even Beer Week, if we were to do this in July, it would be dead. Nobody is here in July. We're not, like, everyone's at the beach. Everyone's out of town. Like, October, it's a good month. It makes sense. Yeah. People are hustling, bustling back in town. It's Beer Week month, whatever. It's right before the holidays, just like for you. Like, so that if you're hosting an event, I mean, that's a big part of it, is when you're going to do it as well.
For me, and we also did sponsorships, and that was something that was a little bit of a hustle the first year. The second year, it wasn't as bad.
Because it gets easier.
Yeah, and you've got this, like, the same people will sign up again.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, like, it was very, depending on your level of sponsorship the first year, depended on where I assigned your table. So if you're one of our top sponsors, you're right outside of both of the meeting rooms. So everybody walks out and sees you. And it's like, it's totally fine if you can only donate like $1,000 or $500. And it was still a small space. So everybody, you know, got attention. But if you give me more money, you get better placement.
And that's part of it, you know?
Right. And one of the vendors that had done that after the conference, he was like, thank you so much for putting me in this spot, because I think I just got like several new customers.
Yeah.
And that's awesome, because he's a craft malt machinery.
Yeah.
You know,
you're like, no problem, buddy. You paid for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I will say, I think this is the story that when I'm on job interviews and they say, like, tell me about a time you had to solve a problem creatively or something, this is always the story that I tell. So the first year of the conference, when we were in Asheville, North Carolina, really big beer state. So they have good, easy to work with beer laws. The only thing we really needed was a beer license. Our site didn't, like, we could bring in beer as long as we had the license. It didn't matter where it came from. Technically, they were supposed to be able to sell it in North Carolina. Maybe some Jester King bottles got opened. I don't know. But we also encourage maltsters, like, hey, if you've got like a beer you're really proud of, bring some so we can serve it. So that's, you know, when we were serving beer that night, after the dinner and everything, every single beer that was served was made with craft malt. And that was super, that was just such a super cool thing. So it was like, yes, because of course, like, we're not going to serve like Budweiser, and not there's anything wrong with Budweiser, but they're not going to use craft malt.
Inappropriate time. Know your audience.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And yeah, exactly. And if our, you know, if the attendees showed up, I think they would be like, what the fuck? So we were going to do it again. But this year, since it was in Montana, Montana has extremely restrictive alcohol laws. Like in Bozeman specifically, you can only buy 3 drinks at like any brewery. So you go into a brewery, they give you a punch card. Once you get 3 beers, you're done.
Wow.
And I think every place has to close by like 8 p.m. So not only were there not a lot of beers that were already licensed to be sold in Montana, but to get that license or to get the permit was like $700-$800. And it was like, even if it's for one day, even if it's for 2 hours. So it was, you know, it was just like, we can't in good faith ask people to do this just so we can serve beer. And then since we were having it at Montana State University, we had to use their vendor, which meant that we had to use their, the vendor's supplier. And that's really tough to do.
Yeah.
And very restrictive, because they did say, well, we've got like Budweiser, Bud Light, all this stuff. And I was just like, no. Like, I appreciate it, but that's, we can't do that here. So I, you know, what I finally landed on, and I am so proud of this, was we connected craft maltsters from around the country who were going to be at the conference with brewers in and around Bozeman. So they were already licensed, and the maltsters and the brewers worked together to create a beer with the malt. So they would say, you know, I've got like this malt. And so, you know, like we had a smoked beer, there was like a cream ale. And so they partnered with it. The maltsters shipped the malt, the brewers brewed the beer. So then we could kind of get around that, because we were using breweries that went through the distributor, and then we could get them through the vendor. And so then we could serve them at the conference. And it was just so cool, because there was also, you know, we went up on stage and said like, you know, this maltster was paired with this brewer. And a lot of them that was like walking across the stage and shaking hands was the first time they had actually met face to face. And, you know, and then all of the beers there was like, this was just this giant collaboration between maltsters around the country and these local brewers. And it, like, it turned out really well, and it was really enjoyable. And I was just like, this was creative problem solving. And I will always use that as my example.
No, it's good. It's good. That's what you got to do. It's right. I'm glad it worked out. It's like such a big ask. You're like, so what are you doing with the old batch done later?
Yes, exactly. Well, and we also, for that one, I did receive a Brewers Association grant for that. So they were able to help defray some of the costs of like shipping the malt and things like that. So that was also really good. But yeah, that I remember like the day I learned about the liquor laws and like the vendors and everything, it was just like, what are we going to do? We can't have a craft malt conference with no alcohol, but we also can't have a craft malt conference with just Budweiser products.
No, it's a nightmare.
To wrap up, Rachel, what would you say to people listening who are wanting to organize kind of a big event like what you've done, or, you know, who are just looking at, I guess, what is the biggest lesson you've learned that you would tell somebody?
I am like trying to be like, pick one thing to say. like, seriously, I know, I'm like, as you started that question, I'm like, oh my God, how do I only pick one? I would say, write a business plan. All right. Don't let business plan, the word, scare you, right? Obviously, Beer Week doesn't make money, but you need an outline of what you're going to do. And you need, and it does need, you need to put some work into it. Because if you just dive into this, and you might, because that's what I did, and that's fine, and you'll figure it out. But if you can just kind of be like, all right, what makes it successful, whatever I'm trying to do? I think the biggest thing is, if you need a little guidance, is to find someone who's doing what you're doing, wanting to do. And if they'll talk to you, great. But just try to figure out what they're doing.
Right.
And how are they doing it?
And I giggled uncontrollably because Rachel loves a business plan.
Oh, yeah. I'm all about a business plan. It doesn't need to be crazy, but if you're doing something like a beer week I highly recommend it because you can really, one, you're going to ask for money for sponsors. They're not going to care about your business plan, but you need to not in this case. This isn't like starting a business where,
right,
you know, someone leasing you a building will want to read your business plan, FYI. Right. But it's true. I had someone, side story, call me one day and they're like, this guy, I want to, you know, be in his space, but he wants to see my business plan. I was like, as your landlord? And they're like, yeah. I was like, that's totally normal. And they're like, but it's my business plan. I'm like, he needs to make sure that you have a plan to make money to pay your rent. She's like, but it's all up here. I'm like, no, you need to put it on paper.
Yes.
And let someone read it. Like, it can't be all up here, because trust me, it's not all up there. There are 1 million things that you are forgetting and not thinking about. And everything costs more than you think. And everything takes longer than you think.
Yes.
Remember, there's golden rules right there.
Yeah. And I do something similar. Like, I did that with my beer judging course. I have another webinar series coming up, hopefully next year. And for both of them, it's like, you know, you have all these ideas in your head. And for me, I knew I just got to a point where it's like, put it on paper.
Yeah.
And
make an outline. Outline, yes, might be a better word than
outline.
Plan.
Yeah. And here's
less scary.
Here's everything. And it was good, one, to just get it out on paper. But then, you know, a few trusted people, I'm like, hey, look at this. I gave them no context, just said, would you look over this for me and tell me your thoughts? And, you know, and it was good because people would comment and say, like, well, like, this price is too low, or, you know, how are you going to do this? So it was like you're saying, it was good to just get it out.
Yeah.
And it didn't have to be great looking, but just like,
here's
the idea, and have other people look at it. And that is similar to what my advice was going to be, is, you know, you eat an elephant one bite at a time. Mm-hmm. And it's really easy. And we talked about this in terms of like master cicerone and stuff. It's really easy when you've got this very big goal to get very overwhelmed by how am I ever going to do this? How am I ever going to get here? And what I did between the first and second conference, you know, was write down like, okay, these were the lessons learned. We had a meeting the next day with the board to talk, just kind of like post-mortem about what, you know, what well, what didn't, just when everything was still fresh in our heads. And so the next year, when it was time to prep, I did exactly that. I made a list of, you know, I need to worry about the merch table. So what are the things I need for the merch table? And, you know, just made my list of these, just the really granular, because it was like, okay, and for the next hour, I'm only preparing things for the merch table. Mm-hmm. And then for the hour after that, I'm only putting together name tags, or, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And that just, it calms you down, and you can see like, okay, yes, these things are achievable. And also, who doesn't love crossing things off of their to-do list, right?
Oh, my favorite. I'll write things that I did that weren't on my to-do list just so I could cross it off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Well,
yeah.
Thank you, Rachel, for sharing this with us. And I would say, I will also say, just being a spectator to Charlotte Craft Beer Week, I'm very proud of everything that you've done with it, because you run a fucking brewery. And
I do.
You have
excited.
A life, and you're studying for Master Cicerone.
Oh, I know.
And, you know, and you have so much going on, but you continue to grow this into something that's just getting bigger and bigger every year. And I just think that's super cool that, you know, a spike project has turned into all of this.
It's so classic me.
But, you know, it is also something that, when larger cities who have a lot of breweries don't have a way to celebrate that, I do always think it's weird.
It's weird.
I think,
and
like,
you know,
Georgia has like Craft Beer Month, but they don't, like, there's no Atlanta Craft Beer Week. Nobody do Atlanta Craft Beer Week, because I'm doing it.
Let's do it. Seriously. Well, I mean, in your free time. But yeah. Let me ask you, in Georgia, do you have to have a distributor?
Yes.
See, I really think that's part of it. So growing up in Virginia, where you have to have a distributor, it really creates a distributor and brewery relationship that is not like that here in Charlotte, because in mm-hmm. Charlotte, you can self-distribute, and you can have a distributor. And some of us have both. Like, there's one local brewery that will use their distributor for cans only, and then they distribute kegs. Like,
okay.
you can do stuff like that. But a lot of the breweries are self-distributed, and it just, you don't have that close relationship here. And I think that really helps to foster a beer week. you know, when you have so much of the brewery, look, this is a time to sell beer, people. This isn't like, oh, let's just have fun. I mean, it is, but like, use this time. The sales reps should be using this to plan events, mm-hmm. tap takeovers, get those keg sales, get in there, steal the glass nights. I mean, beer dinners, cheese pairings, all these should be times that the restaurants are selling tickets. They're getting people out. This is all time to make money. So like, there's a whole side of this that is financially based too, right? Like,
yeah,
there's reasons that breweries want to participate in Beer Week. If I was just to be like, okay, everybody, what are we going to do? You do the work. No one's going to do it because that's just the way people are. Like, no one's,
right.
Most people are going to wait for someone to step up and do something, and then they'll participate because that's the easier right. thing to do. And right. I do that in certain aspects of my life.
Sure.
Like, I'm not going to be the person who runs every single thing that I'm a part of. There's no way. I couldn't do
it. Exactly.
But yeah, you got me walled up. And when I say I'm going to do something, no matter how inconvenient it is, unless I physically can't for some reason, I'm typically going to do it. I just really liked what it has become, like you said, because this year we did a beer for Dan Wade, who was the owner of Wooden Robot, who passed earlier this year. And that, you know, the people, like, breweries do come together in a time of need. Like, we all really do. Like, we do work together really, really well. But the public doesn't always get to see that. So it is kind of nice when moments like that happen.
Right.
Right. There's really great things about Charlotte and how tight knit we are. But I do think we could expand it a little bit with the distro people.
With the distributors, like you were saying, I feel like that can be beneficial that you have to have a distributor, because distributors have deep fucking pockets, and they, you know, they can spend money that small breweries can't, and they have money to spend for things like
and
events.
The right distributor is going to want to participate. And I mean, if we're talking about a beer week, a city beer week, they're going to want to do that because they see the value in selling beer.
Right.
Hello. If anybody wants to start a beer week, I'm more than happy to talk to you about starting a beer week. But I will say that despite me doing this for my own, we should do this wanting to reason, it has landed me a craft beer consultant position.
Yes, ma'am.
For the CRVA. Like, it's not anything I could live off. And it's not even every month. It's per contract. But it's cool. I get to put it on my professional resume.
Right.
So, like, you never know what could come out of, if you have a passion to do something. And that's kind of the best way to live life anyways, right? Like, do something that you're passionate about and do it to the fullest of your ability without any sort of expected outcome, then you're going to have a good time. Because if you don't have any expectations, then you can't be disappointed.
Right. Well, and that's, you know, and I even wrote a newsletter about that recently. It's just start ugly. Just do it.
Yeah.
And like you said, there's going to be a million things that go wrong that or don't go according to your plan that nobody's ever going to notice or care about. So don't worry about it. Just start. You'll figure it out along the way. It's not going to be the way you thought it was going to be, but you did it and you're going to learn lessons from it.
And this is just entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
In general. However, I will say the American dream is bullshit. Entrepreneurship will drown you in paperwork. So we'll start a nonprofit. But if you have someone to help you or you can handle that, go for it. But the paperwork is insane. The taxes are insane. However, the American dream, right?
No, ma'am. And I will say also, just to end up on that, and both of us touched on this, I would say another really important lesson is know when to delegate, but also, you know, I had to fight to get money in my conference budget to hire event planners because I was doing most of it myself. So the board didn't see all the work. They didn't see me like driving to Raleigh to pick up beer for the conference. You know, they didn't see all of that.
Yeah.
They didn't see all the paper cuts on my hands from me by myself putting all of the sponsorship bags, like swag bags, together. And so for them, I was like, well, we showed up, we've got thoughts on this, we have no idea what else is going on. And I was like, you need to have event planners for this. If you want this to be more successful and grow every year, we have to pay money for that because none of us are professional event planners.
Exactly. They're asking you to do a job that you didn't really sign up for, and you can do it with the proper help.
Exactly.
Any job is easy with the proper tools. You have to have the proper tools. And it's also okay. Like, one thing I learned is to know my limit, which is a thin wall. When I do recognize it, I will say no. Sometimes I'll just be like, I just can't. I just can't put that on my plate. And that's okay. People typically, they rather you say no than say yes and mess it up or fail or not do it. Or
Right. boundaries, everyone.
Yeah, I love event planning. I don't know why. Like, it's kind of stressful also, but like, I'm good at it.
Yeah, same.
But I don't really like if I had more time, it'd be fine. But when you're just doing a whole shit ton of things, it's a little annoying.
Right.
You're event planning your whole life. That's just how it feels. Event planning my move right now, moving to a new place. So that's been a project. More like things than you don't recognize, like side story. We have all this ivy that's been growing on this new house that we got. So we got it all ripped out. Mm-hmm. But she's like, oh, okay, before you do this, you have to call the county and put in for a dig permit. And they come out and mark your yard so we know where we can dig safely. And I was like, yes, that makes sense. But that is the most adult fucking thing I have ever done.
Mine was get my soffits power washed. And they look great. And I'm a little terrified power about washed? My soffits. So your roof, you know, like the underside of your roof.
Oh.
The part that overhangs is a
soffit. This is my first house. So yeah. I have to go. Actually, when we're done recording, I'm going up there to do a couple of annoying things that I really don't want to do. But now I'm going to have to I'm looking up my ceiling. Now I'm going to have to go look at my soffits. I bet they're dirty because the whole thing needs to be power washed.
But yeah. We got them power washed. And like I said, I'm a little terrified by how excited I was. Look at these clean soffits. Never in my life. And if anybody is listening to this who knows my parents, do not tell my parents I said that, because they're going to be like, remember when you made fun of us for that stuff?
Getting older is weird.
It's very weird.
I was thinking about when I was cleaning out that one drawer you have in your kitchen, you know, with all the junk.
Yep.
And I was like, I wonder what drawer in my new house is going to be the junk drawer. Like, what a weird thing to go pick. You know,
it matters.
Yeah,
it does. Is important. If you put that shit in the wrong drawer, that's going to fuck up the whole flow. And you can't just put it in another drawer. I don't know. Oh. Those are the rules. I don't make them. Thank you, everyone, for listening to us talk about our event planning. If you have, like Rachel said, any other questions about some of the events that we've talked about today or events that you've seen either one of us do, you know, Rachel obviously has a ton of experience doing events for her tap room and figuring out what works and what doesn't. And, you know, I really feel like we should probably just do another episode about that, because I think that you have a lot of helpful guidance on that.
That's it. So that needs to be people need to pay for that episode. Okay. Because.
All right, that will be for our Patreon members.
That's gold right there. Let's calm down.
So you can find us at False Bottom Girls on Instagram or Facebook. You can also visit our website, falsebottomgirls.com, and feel free to email us, falsebottomgirls@gmail.com. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you, Master Cicero Jen.
Thank you, Master Audience, everyone.
This has been False Bottom Girls.
And we make the Bruin world go round.